Welcome to Calvary Chapel Fullerton. My name is Franklin Garcia, and I want to welcome you to our midweek Bible studies. I hope you're having a blessed week so far. And the title of my message today is Getting Connected. Getting Connected. Yes, that's right. Getting Connected. Because we are going to talk about today, we are going to talk about small groups, or as we call it in our church, on Calvary Chapel Fullerton, connect groups, small groups, connect groups, either way, getting connected. See, when we get together on Sundays for church, we get to see the people that we love to be in around with, people that we love to talk to. We get to worship together. We get to listen to the message, the sermon together. We get to catch up with what's going on in our lives during the week. We get to catch up to see what's going on at church. But there is something more deeper that we cannot do in Sunday services. There is something more deeper that we cannot do in our worship services on Sundays or church. Today we are going to talk about the importance or the significance of small groups for our lives. The small groups were important in the early church. They were something very, very important in the early church. We see through the scriptures that the people would gather together in the houses, small groups, and in the temple courts. In the houses and in the temple courts. People would gather in houses. They would break bread. They would pray together. They would share time together. See, the small groups, the gathering of the church in houses were very important in the early church. And we see that through the book of Acts. And today we are going to see why small groups or connect groups are important for our spiritual lives. Why connect groups are important for our spiritual life. Why it's important that we must be part of a small group. Why being part of a connect group is important for our spiritual life. That's what I want us to talk about today. Why we should enjoy a connect group. Why we should be part of a small group. Gather with other believers. Not only on Sundays, but also during the week. The first thing is that we need to know is that connect groups will create a space where we can become devoted one another. Small groups will create a space where we can become devoted one another. Why small groups are important for our spiritual life? Because it will give us the space where we can become devoted to one another. And we can see this in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 10. Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Rome, says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, connect groups will create a space where we can become devoted one another. See, as you spend time together, let's say you sign up for a small group that meet up on Wednesdays. Maybe there's a group of 6, 8 people that gather together in the house, in the backyard, every Wednesday. As you're getting to know these people more intimately, you become devoted one another. See, the term devoted is a term that it was used for an affection between family members. Family members, between a dad and a daughter, between a son and a mom, between brothers and sisters. As you get to spend time together with other believers during the week, every week, you will become devoted one another. Your affection, your brotherly love, it will grow deeper and deeper for others. See, small groups are important because they will create a space where you'll be able to become devoted to one another. That's what the Apostle Paul say, be devoted to one another in love. See, honor one another. Again, look at the phrase, again, sounds like a pronoun, one another above yourselves. See, these words got the root on love and affection. Love and affection between family members. See, the word devoted only occurs one time in the New Testament in this verse. It had the sense of affection, the brotherly love that should be happening in family members. But Paul used this to encourage the believers in the Church of Rome that they should be devoted to one another. They should have the same affection, the same devotion to one another as family members within the church with other believers. See, this is, the phrase is something similar as we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, where Paul say, count others more significant than yourselves. To count others more significant than yourselves. Be devoted one another. Count others more significant than yourself. The word devoted means affection between family members, between the love of a mother for his children. I remember my friend shares that when he was little, his mom used to say that at dinner time that she was not hungry. She would not eat dinner because she would say that she was full already, that she was not hungry. And he always wondered when he was little why his mom would not eat with them in the table. There were six brothers, and she was a single mom that was trying to make, tried to put food on the table. And she had enough for six kids. And she always say, she wouldn't say it's not enough for everybody. So, no, she would say, I'm not hungry right now. You guys go ahead and eat. I'm okay. I'm trying to lose weight. Later on in life, when as an adult, he found out that his mom was not hungry. His mom just didn't eat because it was not enough for him and his brothers. See, this type of affection or love is what Paul is describing here, devoted, being having affection to one another, being devoted. But being devoted to one another, having affection for one another only can happen when we gather together within a small group. A small group will create a space for us to be devoted to one another, to count others above ourselves. See, when you are in a small group, as you're spending time and get to know people, you get to know people more. You become more familiar with others. They will be able to see you and say, wow, you lose some weight. You look great. You know, you lose some weight. You know, small groups will create an intimate space. You will be able to pray with others for difficult situations that are going on. So maybe your son is walking away from the Lord. Maybe he has left. And you heard in your heart that your son is gone. And you will be able, as you spend time together and being devoted to one another, be able to share with others that you need prayer for your son. That you need prayer for yourself. And you and your group will be praying for your son. Every week they will be praying for your son. They will be asking, how you doing? How's everything going on? Have you heard anything yet? We're praying for you. Maybe there's a job that you are desiring to have and you share with your group, look guys, I would like to ask for a prayer. I would like to, I'm applying for this job. I have an interview in a couple of days and I wanna ask you to pray for me because I really like this job. I really wanna get this job. And your group, your connect group will be praying with you, will be praying for you. They will be texting you. They might be asking you, say, how it went? How was the interview? And maybe if you don't get the job and get discouraged, they will be there to encourage you. Or maybe you get the job and they will be there to celebrate with you. That's what small groups is all about. To becoming devoted to one another. They will cry when you cry. They will hurt when you hurt. They will laugh when you laugh. They will be happy when you are happy. Maybe you had to see the doctor is requesting a biopsy because there is something suspicious, and your small group will be praying with you. They will be aware of what's going on in your life. They will be interceding for you in intimate aspect. Of course, the church prays for one another, but it's a little bit different when you have a small group that when you are becoming devoted, when you have an affection for one another, a family affection for one another, you are aware of the needs of others. You are able to create the space where you become devoted for one another. That's what small groups does. Small groups are important. And why? They're important for your spiritual life because they will be creating a space so you can become devoted to one another. See, you don't have to do this alone. You can do it with others. There's other people that want to get connected as well. So connect groups are important for our spiritual life because it will create a space where we can become devoted to one another. And another thing, why small groups are important for our spiritual lives? Because connect groups will create a space. It will create a space where we can instruct one another. We can correct one another. We can counsel one another. We can advise one another. See, connect groups or small groups will create a space where you can instruct one another. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, verses 14. He says, I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Look at what the Word of God tells us. To instruct one another. Not to tell others what to do or what are you doing wrong. To instruct one another. I'm confident, he says. I'm convinced that you are full of goodness, love in your heart, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. When Paul say full of goodness means gentleness. There's maturity here. I know that you are full of goodness. There's gentleness in your life. Complete knowledge means that you can advise someone in the right direction. You can point someone in the right direction. See, as you spend time together with other believers, get to know each other. You guys have been meeting together in a small group for a couple years now. You have been praying for each other. You have been supporting each other. You have been crying together. You have been laughing together. You are celebrating together life. Small groups or connect groups will also create a space where you are going to be able to instruct one another. For example, a brother that's working overtime, that's not making it to church on Sundays. You will be able, with the goodness of your heart and with complete knowledge, maturity, you will be able to instruct a person. You will be able to give him counsel and advice to this fellow brother that you have been spending the last 2 years with. You have been praying with him. He has been praying for you. He is aware of what's going on in your life. You are aware of what's going on in his life. And now, small groups will create a space where you will be able to direct others in the right direction. That's what Paul said. With the goodness of your heart, with gentleness. See, small groups create a space where you are able to instruct one another. In other words, you become accountable. Because when somebody don't see you at church every Sunday, they will ask, are you okay? What's going on? I haven't seen a church in the last 3-4 Sundays. Are you okay? There's something I can pray for. I mean, there's something I can help you with. I mean, what's going on? And as the person explained the reasons why they're not going to church, why they're not spending that much time with their kids because they are working too many hours, you will be able to instruct with gentleness and knowledge. You will be able to instruct the person in the right direction. You will be able to see something that other person doesn't see. They say one of the sisters in the group is sharing with you that she's about to date an unbeliever at her job. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a guy that will probably one day be a good husband, but he doesn't believe in the Lord. But hopefully one day he will be able to come to church with you, and the other person will be able to see and hear these things and will be able to instruct with the goodness of the heart and full knowledge, be able to instruct and give direction, give instruction in the right direction to the person. See, that's what a small group is about, to help each other out, to help each other out with knowledge, with instruction. Not to tell somebody what to do, but instruct one another, because that's what the word of God commands. Let's read it again. I myself, Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. I know that you guys love the Lord. I know that you guys are gentle. I know that you guys are filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. See, the word of God commands us to instruct one another. But see, this is only going to be possible when you are spending time with other fellow believers. When you get to know in a more intimate way other believers. As you get to know a person, as you get to spend more time with someone, as you get to pray and cry and laugh together with someone, then you will be able to instruct one another. I remember I became so close with another brother years ago. We used to spend a lot of time together during the week in a small group. We used to study, we used to pray. But he was he this brother he always used to put his wife down in public in front of everybody. He probably didn't see that. He probably didn't notice that. But one day, I was able to talk to him, to bring this awareness to him that what he was doing, maybe he didn't notice that he was putting his wife down in front of everybody all the time, making jokes that maybe he didn't see it bad, but his wife was being put down. See, that's what it means to instruct one another. Even at the cost of maybe that you might lose the friendship. That's the affection that the Apostle Paul speaks on Romans chapter 12, verse 10. That's how you become devoted in love one another. You have affection, you have love for other person, for other people. You have the type of love for other person that you don't care if this person stopped talking to you, but out of the goodness of your heart, you tell the person or you point the person to the right direction that what the person is doing is not right. It will damage him. It will hurt him. See, we are going to be able to instruct one another when we spend time together, when we pray together, when we get to know each other in an intimate way, when we become devoted to one another, when we create the family affection for one another, then we will be able to instruct one another. We will be able to point others in the right direction. I want that. I want people to point me in the right direction. Maybe there are things in my life that I don't see. But see, a stranger cannot come and tell me what I'm doing wrong. But someone that loves me, someone that cares for me, someone that has been spending time with me, that person will be able to talk to me with the gentleness of heart, with full knowledge, and point me to the right direction. So why small groups, why connect groups are important for our spiritual life? Well, because small groups will create space where we can become devoted one another. Small groups will create a space where we can instruct one another. See, these two things right here are essential for our spiritual life. We need that. We need to become devoted one another. We need to instruct one another and the Lord with the goodness of heart. Why small groups or connect groups are important for our spiritual life? Because they will create a space where we can encourage one another. We can encourage one another. We are going to be able to give that push that someone else needs or we might need it in a difficult season of our lives. Small groups will create a space where we can encourage one another. One another. See, you become devoted. You have spent time together with someone. You get to know someone in an intimate way. You get to spend time with that person. You laugh. You cry with that person. You share life with this person. Every now and then, that person instructs you because something that you don't see, or you might instruct this person in the right direction. You are helping each other. And then when life gets hard, then you are encouraged. You encourage each other, one another. You are able to encourage one another. This only can happen in an intimate way. In connect groups, in the small groups. Only in that setting. Look what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing it. You are already doing it, says Paul. So encourage one another. Again, look at the word one another. It's not about try to encourage yourself by reading the Bible. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say encourage yourself by listening to sermons. Encourage yourself by praying. encourage yourself by buying you something nice. No, he said, encourage one another and build each other up. Come on, you know you can do it. Hey, that job that you apply for, you got it. Man, you fit for that job. Oh man, you so gifted. If they don't hire you, they don't know what they're missing. See those words? I'm like, wow. If I'm applying for a job and someone speak to me like that, I will be encouraged. If I'm having difficulty in my marriage, having problems with my kids that are teenagers, if I get words of encouragement, it's going to help me. It's going to cheer me up. It's going to give me the push that I need. That's what Paul said. Therefore, encourage one another and build, not tear, build each other up. Just as in fact, you are doing it. See how amazing this goes? You devoted one another. You start creating the affection, the family affection for one another. You are able to instruct one another. You are able to point a person, a fellow believer, to a right direction. Or that person is, or other person is able to point you in the right direction. And when life gets hard, difficult, you also be able to encourage. Or you might be encouraged by others. You might be able to build somebody up. Or be built by somebody else. Build each other up. Encourage each other up. That's what Paul tells us. One another. See, this encouragement is basic on the word of God. The encouragement that the Apostle Paul is talking here is about is based on the word of God. It's based on the word of God. See, Paul will instruct and will encourage the church through the scriptures, with the scriptures. And Paul tells the church in Thessalonica that encourage each other up with the word of God. Encourage each other up. That's what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Say, you are witness, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. For you know that we deal with each other as you, as father, deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. See, that's the way Paul instructs them and encourages them, based upon the word of God. That's why we see in chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, he started encouraging the church. He started giving the push that the many members needed, the members that lost their loved ones, people that had died, and they give them a word of encouragement that we are going to see them again. You are going to see your loved ones again. We are going to meet. We are going to be caught up in the air, and we are going to gather, and we are going to see the loved ones again. Don't be discouraged. Then the day of the Lord is near. See, then the Lord will establish his kingdom, and we are going to be with him forever. See, Paul used the scriptures to encourage others. And he's telling the church of the Thessalonica to encourage one another, to build one another with the word of God. Now, how can we build and help others, encourage others with the word of God? Let's say somebody have a disagreement, have problems with another person, and that person has lost his peace. He can't sleep. He's bothered for what happened with this other person. And you will be able, with the goodness of your heart and full of knowledge, will be able to point the person to the right direction, the scriptures. If the person had lost his peace because of disagreement or a conflict with another person, you will be able to tell him, brother, remember what the scriptures say on Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about nothing. But in every situation, Pray with petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Brother, don't let that bother you. If it's bothering you, you already apologized to that person. You are ready to make peace. You try to make peace. It still can happen. Just take it to the Lord. Tell the Lord how you feel with thanksgiving, knowing that He will resolve the situation. And you will see how the peace of God will fill your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, you will be able to encourage that person with the word of God. Let's say somebody is going through a difficult situation in life, and the person doesn't know why he or she is going through that difficult situation. You will be able to share with the person James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, that's what James said. If you're going through a difficult situation, it's because the Lord wanted to supply something that is missing in your life. Your character, patience, something spiritual that's missing in your life. That's the purpose of trials, tribulation. But if you lack in wisdom, you would like to know why this is going on in my life. What is that you're trying to teach me, Lord? Then ask Him. Ask Him. Ask the Lord, and He will give you generously. He will give it to you without finding fault. See, you will be able to encourage each other, one another, with the word of God. See how amazing is this? You become devoted to one another in a small group. You get together every Wednesdays. Maybe you get to share a meal, a piece of pie, a coffee. Get to talk about the family, what's going on in your life. You open up, you ask for prayers, you share about what happened at your job interview, what's going to happen on the second phase of the interview, and what are you expecting. Or maybe you got to see a doctor that find that maybe suspicions that something wrong in your health and you fear, and you be able to share that with your group, and they're praying for you. Maybe you have a son that has walked away from the Lord. You have a prodigal in your life, and you sharing with the group. You want prayers for your group, for your son. You become intimate. You start having affection for one another. You consider others better than yourself. You consider others more important than yourself. The affection, the family affection start happening among your group. Once the family affection start happening among your group, then you will be able to instruct one another. You will be able to instruct one another. Maybe you see something wrong. Maybe you see that this brother and sister have been missing church for too long. You worry because you care for that person. You have that affection, the family love for him or for her. And you tell it with the goodness of your heart, look, you have been missing church. Is anything wrong? There's anything I can help you? I mean, wow, you're working two jobs, but what about your family? You're neglecting your family. You don't think that will affect you eventually. You will be able to point the person in the right direction because you're doing it at the goodness of your heart. At the goodness of your heart, with full knowledge, as Paul said. We should instruct one another, as the word of God say. And how we instruct one another? With the word of God. We encourage one another with the word of God. That's how we encourage, with the word of God. And sometimes the encouragement is implicit. Sometimes other people, without saying anything, but the way they are living, they encourage us. When a person is going through a difficult time, and we know it, that the person is going through a difficult situation, but the way the person is holding to his faith, the way the person is pursuing the love and kindness for other person, that motivates us. It's implicit. The person don't say anything, but the way the person carries itself, it motivates us, it encourages in the process. Connect groups, small groups are important. because you will become part of a small family. You will be able to become devoted to one another with a group of fellow believers in the Lord. You will be able to develop that affection that happens among family members, the love, the care for one another. You will be able to share life with other like-minded people. You will be able to pray with others. You will be able to share with others. You will be able to help others. And not only that, you will be able to receive instruction, guidance, counseling, and advice whenever you need it. Or you will be able to instruct and guide others whenever they need it, out of goodness of the heart and the full of knowledge. And the Connect Group will also create a space where you can encourage each other with the Word of God. With the Word of God. See, the Scriptures encourage us to get connected. To get connected. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 say, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promises is faithful, and let us consider how we may encourage one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Remember that we used to meet together in the houses in the early church, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, the Scriptures encourage us that we gather in such a way that these things will be done among us. Devoted, be devoted to one another, instruct one another, and encourage one another. Today, I want to encourage you to get connected. Getting connected. Sign up to one of our Connect groups. They're starting soon. You still got a couple of weeks. You still can do it. You can go online. You can look for the days that work better for you, that fit better for you. And sign up. Give it a try. Give it a try. You don't lose nothing by giving a try. But remember, small groups or Connect groups are important for your spiritual life. You will be able to gather with others in a more intimate way. You will be able to do church in a more intimate way. You will be able to be part of a community that will care for each other, that will have love for each other. You will have an affection for one another. You will be able to receive instruction or to give instruction, and you will be able to encourage one another with other believers. Connect groups will be a refreshment for your spiritual life. So sign up and get connected to our Connect groups. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you for remind us, Lord, that we must, Father, devote one another, Father. We must work towards having an affection and brotherly love to one another, Father. Thank you for reminding us, Father, that how important it is to instruct to one another, to help one another that way, instructing one another, Father. Point one another in the right direction, Father. We need that, Lord. Help. Thank you for reminding us that we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage each other, one another, Father. We need to, with the Word of God. Father, there is a lot that we're missing right now, Father, because maybe we're trying to do life alone. Maybe we are trying to go to church on Sundays, then we are alone on Sundays. Maybe just watching videos, Maybe we can get connected through Zoom every now and then, but Father, we are missing what is essential for our spiritual life. Connect groups, small groups. Father, help us, Father, to be part, Father, of this community in a more intimate way. This Christian community, Father, our church, Father. Help us to be part of, Father, of what you're trying to do through our groups in the church, Father. Father, I pray for those who have been doing life alone, the Christian life alone. I pray, Father, that they get connected. I pray that they will find a group within our church where they will become part of a family, where they will be devoted to one another, where they will be able to instruct one another, Father, and where they will be able to encourage one another. Father, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, for your goodness. We want to thank you for all the beautiful things that you will still do through our lives. We thank you, we worship you, in Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you, may God keep you, and hopefully see you soon, hopefully see you on church on Sunday, and hopefully you get to sign up to a Connect group. God bless. Bye-bye.